Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast from Archant Towers at the time of Monday the 18th of January 1719. That is 20 past five for anyone who doesn't know 24 hour time. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm with Sports Desk Pete Raven, as I now officially call him all the time, and Paddy Davitt, Chief Norwich City Writer for the Eastern Daily Press. Gents, good afternoon. We're obviously dealing with the current time as things stand, and we've got to talk about Bournemouth as well. Who wants to talk about the transfer window first? Who wants to talk about Bournemouth first?
Get Bournemouth out of the way with.
All right, let's do it. Do you want to sum it up, Pete?
Rubbish.
Yeah, well, you didn't even watch it, apart from on the telly.
I watched half of it, but the bit I saw from the penalty to the third goal was dire, and I imagine the rest of the game was as well.
After the first 10 minutes, it was pretty dire, mate, yeah. Which is when the first goal went in. And the manner it was conceded set the tone for a rather depressing outing. And the fact we had 4 hours drive back to Norwich as well.
I've got to be honest, my Burger King on the way back was the highlight of my day. That was lovely.
To be honest, I didn't enjoy it, if I'm honest. Mainly because it had been such a wretched day.
It was as bad as, well, as the worst in terms of this season, I'm pretty convinced. But, I mean, it was as bad as anything we'd sort of seen in previous Premier League campaigns, really. It was a proper rollover job.
I'll tell you the game that stuck in my mind over the weekend was Houghton's era when they went to Southampton around about this time of the year and they got done 3-0, was it? Conceded an early goal and conceded another one for half time, and it was they were 3-0 down at that point, right? And they got the two late goals, which completely gave it a gloss that, I mean, 3-0 that day would have been like Bournemouth probably fair, but it was just capitulation, surrender, those type of adjectives. We saw it again this weekend, and it's so out of keeping with an Alex Neil side at Norwich. That's the most, aside from the result and who they were playing and who scored the third goal, that was probably the most depressing factor, that we haven't really seen that under Alex Neil.
And that's the bit probably that really niggles me, that they went to Watford and Bournemouth last year under him and did very, very well. And it was just so limp. And they got outworked and outran, I thought, by Bournemouth, who, judging by all the Bournemouthites and players I spoke to after, is what they pride themselves in doing. So so much for being organised, as Norwich's strength was supposed to be.
Well, I think you can pick out several disappointing away performances, and that's at the top, isn't it? Even worse than Newcastle for me. To save your worst performance against one of your relegation rivals,
I know how bad the Newcastle one was, but that was almost a tactical error that saw it just unravel in about 20 minutes, and up until that point it was a pretty good game and Norwich weren't doing badly at all. Watford's the one for me that was as bad, but where do we go from here then, Pad? That's the big question, I suppose, because defensively they were all over the place. They didn't really look like scoring all afternoon, and they got overrun in midfield.
Yeah, well, luckily they don't play Bournemouth every week then, it sounds like.
Well, that's a fair question. I mean, do Bournemouth deserve some credit? Because I was pretty impressed by them, and it wasn't just all about Norwich not showing up, I guess.
No, they were very good. They were very good, particularly as they were coming off the back of a very poor home result against West Ham, so you could imagine that they really, really targeted that game, and the sort of savage intent they showed from the off, that seemed to be, and obviously they had the boost from the new signings as well, or one of them anyway. They were good on the day, but they didn't have a lot in front of them to roll over, in truth. But where did they go from there? Well, you know, let's keep it in perspective. That's what the manager was preaching and has done, give him his due all season. They've had those two games we've talked about and they bounced back from both of those, so they're not playing the Liverpool team in the greatest of form. They're unbeaten at five at home at Carr Road, so yeah, I'm reasonably optimistic they'll get it show back on the road this weekend. And if they don't, if they turn in another Bournemouth performance, then the alarm bells will start to ring.
So we should stipulate at this point Swansea will host Watford tonight, watched by their new head coach Francesco Guidolin, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I possibly feel Watford could yet get dragged into it, even though I was convinced they were going to be safe. But if they lose at Swansea tonight and they continue looking a bit lethargic, then you never know. But whatever Swansea do will have quite a bearing on how the bottom half and the relegation battle kind of looks. So I suppose, is there anything else we should mention about the game? I suppose Declan Rudd was lucky not to be sent off for all manner of reasons.
Yeah, I think he was fortunate to stay on. Russell Martin's performance at right back wasn't brilliant, but then I guess not many can come out of that game with any credit apart from Johnny Howson, really. It was a bad day all round.
The problem, I think, with Russ, he does okay at right back, but when he's up against a winger who's flying, it does get quite difficult. And Charlie Daniels looks... There's all sorts of talk on the South Coast about what that guy can do this season.
Well, I mean, let's get it straight. He's the left-back. Pugh was the left wide player. So, to me, you're talking about a left-back. Whereas Vadis Adidja, nowhere was the answer. So, as poor as Russell Martin was, absolutely no help whatsoever from the guy in front of him. And he was obviously culpable for the penalty award as well. So, yeah, Russell Martin was pretty bad on the day, but there was a good few candidates alongside him, let's be honest.
It's also noted that we've had two fairly identical goals in the last two away games where Brady's just stood there, really.
Yeah, I think this is a bit of an issue. And the manager is sort of saying that he's more convinced of Brady as a left-back than a winger. Would that be fair to say, Pat?
That's the reply I got when I asked him on Friday. Yep, you can show me all manner of stats, was the quote, to prove that he's a better left-back than a left midfielder. Evidence of the last two games, as Pete alludes to, he doesn't sense danger, he doesn't switch on. He sees the play all in front of him in both those occasions because the ball travels from right to left. He's not a natural left back, so whatever the stats are showing in an attacking sense, if he's culpable for a goal a game, then you're on a bit of a loser there for me.
That wraps up Bournemouth, doesn't it? Is there anything else to talk about? We won't talk about Lewis Graben watching from the stands because he felt a bit ill even though he was out in the cold. In fact, I tell you what, let's now hear from a few people, shall we? Such as, and I've got to work out who I'm going to edit, Andrew Sermon, Simon Francis, Johnny Howson, and Alec Neil. Do you think Norwich will be all right? Haven't seen that. I know that wasn't one of their better days.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, like I say, we haven't played them earlier in the season, which is a very similar team, similar players. They were good on a day, so I don't think they probably have anything to worry about. I think they've got enough strength and depth, got a lot of players, and there's still a few days left of the transfer window as well, so you might never know who they're going to bring in. So I think they probably got too much quality to go down, but you never know in the Premier League. Yeah.
This is tough, isn't it? Would you say them when you came up with Norwich back in, when was it? 2012?
Yeah, a few years ago. Yeah, I don't know really. I mean, it's been a strange league this season. I think usually you sort of say the top six are unbeatable, but anyone could beat anyone this year. So you might win a game you don't expect to, and then you get beat in a game you don't expect to lose. So but we're just taking each game as it comes. We knew it was a big game today, and thankfully we got 3 points.
And Lewis was pretty gutted he didn't get to feature at some part today, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of the of the transfer, really, but I presume there's some kind of agreement that it wouldn't be right if he played today. You can understand, obviously, with the transfer only being a few days ago. So he just wanted the last supporting performance and get a win. So it was nice to do that for him. You know, without sounding too arrogant or overconfident, we do try and outrun a lot of teams in this division. I think the stats will back that up, but we're up there for our work rate and our pressing and winning the ball back, and then we show the quality on the ball that we've got, and I thought we did that today. We outworked them, outran them, outpassed them as well, and it led to the chances that we had.
Poorly. That's basically the bottom line. I didn't think we'd done all the things we have been doing in the last five or six matches. I didn't think we'd done well enough today. I didn't think we competed well enough. I didn't think our use of the ball was good enough. I didn't think we defended our box well enough. Disappointing. And to be honest, quite surprised, because I think that team's been relatively consistent over the last five or six games in terms of selection. And obviously we had to make a change with Gary getting dropped out because of his suspension. However, they've been playing well recently, it's difficult to put your finger on why we played so poorly today.
Yeah, obviously very disappointed in that. It's obviously a bad day at the office for us, a bad afternoon. I think obviously Bournemouth deserved to win. And obviously it's hard, when to take. Certainly when you play the teams in and around us, you want to pick up points, but we obviously didn't turn up, and we have to try and put that right and move on to next Saturday. Well, I don't think we ever properly got going to maybe the standards we've set, certainly over the past few weeks. These things happen. As I say, we're obviously all very disappointed. we'll review it, see where we went wrong, try and put it right and move on from it.
Okay, well, let's draw that as a line under Bournemouth. Transfer window then, as I said, it's now 17:27. So we are believing Norwich are very close to two deals, Paddy. Are you excited by these two deals?
Am I excited? No. Why? I'm not a Norwich fan, boys. Am I excited only in the sense of hopefully they can make the difference, yeah, and keep them up, which is what we're all striving for, whether you're a fan or not. Certainly the pedigree of both players. Are you going to name them, Michael, or are you still?
Oh, yeah, I'll say them if you want. Stephen Naismith from Everton. £8.5 million is a suggested fee for Naismith, and between £8 and £9 million, I think you mentioned earlier, for Tim Closer from Wolfsburg, where Raphael Honigstein said it was, he thought it was very interesting that he was leaving Champions League club to come to Norwich, but there we go. We'll see. But they're the two that will hopefully come off eventually. Pedigree, as you said, Pat.
Oh, yeah, hugely. Yeah. I mean, Closer, that guy apparently was a regular in a team that got to the Champions League last season, top three in Germany. I'd say it's almost an element of how Norwich pulled that deal off. Subject to it being pulled off, of course. I mean, there's a link with his agent, who I believe is a former striker of the parish. So that might not have hurt. His case sounds like he's a bit of a Lafferty in that he needs to be playing football regularly to play for Switzerland at the Euros. So, you know, it's decent money, possibly a club record if you believe some of the fees being attached to the deal. So, and they need it. They desperately need a centre back. They needed one in the summer. They didn't get one. And, you know, evidence was there again on Saturday. They're weak and suspect at that part of the pitch. You can't go and concede three goals every game as they are at the minute. So everything about the lad, age-wise, experience, where he's been playing his football. I mean, he played in the Champions League this season. He played in that game against United that got him through to the last 16. So the only caveat, again, as Neil himself alludes to, is a lad coming from outside of the Premier League, how long it will take them to adapt. But you just sense that this guy knows what it's all about. So, yeah, that is a good bit of business. And Naismith, well, that's about as long-running saga as Dallas. So, I mean, the reality is, I don't know. I mean, that sounds like a lot of money to me for a 29-year-old. There'll be no resale value in that. They're well-stocked in midfield areas, so not sure that one sets my pulse racing, but he's clearly, you know, he knows his way around the Premier League and he offers a bit of versatility as well, which is a useful attribute. But, no, I'd be more excited about Closer, I think, of the two.
Yeah, and Wolfsburg is still in the Champions League as it heads into the knockout stages. I'm not sure how much Tim had been playing, but as you said, it's getting games, I suppose. I agree with you on Naismith's value, but you are an Norwich fan, Pete. Are you excited?
I am. You can't really accuse the board of not doing anything this January. If they pull off those two, that's going to be a record spend in a transfer window, isn't it, I would have thought? Well, certainly Jan.
Funny, in January, I'd say. I'm pretty sure summer of 2013 they were getting on sort of 23-25 million quid, so that's the benchmark, but it's not bad, is it?
Yeah, I mean, the priorities were the defender and no, he's not a striker, but he's going to have firepower. If that's the only business they end up doing, then it would have been nicer to add a out and out forward in. But no, I don't know anything about Closer, but Naismith seems to, the Everton fans seem quite disappointed he's leaving, even though he doesn't really figure for them. So it's, you're going to be spending these sort of figures if you want to stay up, and just glad we're actually doing the business this time.
Are you judging that reaction on by Twitter?
No, just one or two Everton fans that have like got in touch and just said that he's a decent player. I think it's more that they sort of favour him over what he does off the field as well as on it. All these tales of giving away tickets and helping out the homeless, but for us is what he does on the pitch. And I know he's probably going to be in that number 10 role, which means someone else is going to miss out, but we'll see.
Yeah, I suppose it's maybe not the same pressure from Madison Ginger after Saturday's show, where he did struggle a little bit. Okay, well, that's two and possibly outgoings in terms of Gary Hooper and Sheffield Wednesday fans. getting quite excited that they will have Hooper back for the rest of the season. I think one mentioned to me that their playoff hopes rely on it. I guess he's in a similar boat to Kyle in that, you know, Norwich are really going to want that to be done permanently if they can, so they can get some money in the door.
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah, because the manager's publicly stated neither of them are going to feature. You know, he's made it quite clear they're not his players in terms of what he wants from his strikers. So if that is the case, then moving forward, why would you want them in the building if you can get them out the door on a permanent? I'm not sure both will go on a permanent. I think there might be still some to-ing and fro-ing, but certainly there's a will in the on the Hooper deal anyway from both clubs. One wants him, one wants to get rid, so hopefully they'll meet in the middle somewhere on the financial side of it. And I don't think Leeds and Lafferty's dead by a long way by all accounts, so but that might be a slow burner. I think that though certainly the Lafferty one might go right to the end of the window, I think, but and if they go then they go, don't they? I don't think there'll be too many Norwich fans crying any tears over those two.
Do you reckon that would? Oh, sorry, Pete. Do you reckon that would do it if they, the start of February they had Naismith, Jerome, and Mbakani as their sort of forward options?
No, that's what I was best going to say. If those two go, I'd want to see a striker come in. Yeah, then light up front, definitely.
Well, all I'll say on that one is they've obviously got the loan option now, haven't they? So you know they can let the window shut, reopens a week later, and then you go for, I'll pick a name out, Bamford.
Yeah, just what went through my head.
So you know. That wouldn't be at all surprising if that's the logic they're sort of applying. You know, they've got that option now, haven't they? And, you know, window comes and goes and just see who's still at Premier League clubs, who isn't going to feature, who might... Because realistically, whoever that one comes in is going to be basically the fourth in line, aren't they? Third in line. So you're not looking for a frontline option. You're looking for somebody who can come in now and again, basically.
Funny, because if Bamford had stayed at Palace, he probably would have got a few games. They haven't got any strikers now. You'd rather have a last-minute loan recruit once you've already done a bit of business with you than hinging your whole window on it, Harry. Ivo Pinto we haven't seen yet, as had been explained really initially, so maybe we'd be getting close to that come the Liverpool game. They're in a funny kind of place at the moment, aren't they, Pete? They've lost at home to United, they've got an FA Cup replay at home to Exeter coming up, where I guess we'll see the kids, but they're very erratic.
Yeah, they're even more inconsistent than we are. I know their defence is fairly shocking at the moment, and isn't Klopp still sort of playing without a sort of designated striker? He's still sort of flooding the midfield, but I've not really seen too many of their games.
Benteke's on the bench, at least he's starting on the bench at the moment, certainly.
Yeah, I'd say at least a point on Saturday, if not all three. Just do them.
Let's do them. I'd love to. When was the last time Norwich beat Liverpool? I'm wondering when that would have been. I don't think they've done it either occasion since 2004. So then you're probably going back to Jeremy Goss last goal in front of the Kop.
But that's a great time to play him.
There's Suarez now, boys. You don't need to worry.
No Suarez. Although it was interesting listening to Brendan Rodgers going, "Oh, we were going to sign Alexis Sanchez, and then he went to Arsenal, and we were screwed. All we had was Ricky Lambert." They are in a funny place. I like the analysis on Match of the Day too, that Liverpool are terrible with crosses into the box. So whatever you do, get the crosses into the box and they will wilt. And even Jurgen Klopp's bored of talking about cross defending set pieces.
Sure, Liverpool they were talking about and not Norwich on the evidence of the last two games.
There you go. Come on. That's the case to get Brady on the left wing then.
Hey, Norwich didn't concede a single set piece goal on Saturday, did they?
Penalty.
That doesn't really count. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, but they're susceptible from crosses, though, yeah. On the evidence of the last two games.
Antle's closer. Is he a big lad?
Yeah, he's a big lad, 6 foot plus.
Who would you expect to make way for him then, Bennett or Bessong?
I would be very surprised if it was Sebastian Bessong who made way for him personally. What do you reckon, Pat?
Yeah, no, somebody asked us that earlier on the Q&A. Even though I think he's apparently pigeonholed as a left-sided centre-back, which is where Bessong plays, but I don't think on that basis he would take him out and play him with Ryan Bennett. I think Bessong and Brady are the only other presence who've started in every Premier League game, so clearly, although he was culpable on the third goal, wasn't he? He gave the ball away cheaply and then failed to track a phobe. But yeah, you'd still have Bessong over Bennett, so some might feel a little bit harsh on Ryan Bennett, but ultimately we're in the pragmatic part of the season now, and if this guy clearly is going to be an upgrade, then I'm sorry, he's going to have to sit out.
It's a good third goal, wasn't it, on Saturday?
Oh, that was blinding cross from Daniels. Absolutely, just, you know, begging to be hit. You don't need to be a 10 million striker to finish those.
No. Lap them up. Though Newcastle, I don't know if you saw their second goal on Saturday. That was a wonderful goal. I recommend, should you be really interested in how Newcastle score goals, it's a very good goal.
Good, because Tim hasn't mentioned it yet.
Have I got to cut that out now?
No.
Excellent, good. Because no one will know what we're talking about. Just a work colleague. Okay, is there anything else we need to mention? Anyone else? Anything else anyone wants to mention? Nope. Getting shake heads. It is late. And, you know, breaking news could happen. Okay, well, we are done then. But over the course of the week, we'll have all the usual build-up. As you know, the press conference should probably be on Friday, I would imagine. But it's a 12:45 kickoff on Saturday because it's live on BT Sport. Let's hope Norwich play the first half this time against the Merseyside club, as well as the second. So we'll have live coverage, pinken.com, probably with me.
Hopefully with me.
Not to slight anyone who might be stepping in my place, but or I might get called away. Right, we're done. Thanks, gents. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you after Liverpool. Goodbye.